Oh, sinners and choosers, welcome to a bonus episode of Choose Your Own Religion. My name is Joe. Thank you guys for tuning in this week. This is the show where me and a comedian guest or a non-comedian guest, but usually a comedian guest, talk about whatever our religious stuff is, whatever we grew up with. What do we believe about religion, spirituality now? Sometimes it means fucking nothing. We don't believe in shit. That's not me, but sometimes that's what it is. This week, that's kind of one of those, but the reason this is a bonus episode, because I fucked up the recording. My power that was connected to my recorder was not plugged in and was running on battery, and I didn't even know. So it gave out halfway through the recording. So we still got a good half hour in, but there was a whole second half, a whole beautiful made-up religion. We actually created the religion that was a perfect embodiment of enlightenment for all beings. We figured out heaven and hell. We mastered the human condition. We figured out a way to touch the divine, but unfortunately, like some ancient Hebrew wisdom, is just going to be lost forever. Not even an oral tradition. Back it up in audio form. But it's a good episode. My guest today is Greg Cashmanian, who just came out with an album called Let's Just Be Friends. It's available on iTunes now. I downloaded it. I was there for the recording, too, at the Clubhouse in Los Angeles. A really fun time. Greg's a great comic, and the album's great. I think you'll like it. You should check it out. Follow him on Twitter. He's Ready, Set, Greg on Twitter. And otherwise, a quick check-in for me since it's a shorter episode. I'm doing well. I'm doing genuinely well. Sometimes, maybe I say I'm doing well, and you hear, I don't know if he's doing that well. I'm doing fucking well, guys. And a lot of it's because I quit the most abusive relationship of my life, coffee. I had no idea what kind of cycle of samsara I was subjecting myself to over and over with the caffeine overlord, but I finally kicked that habit. I bought a $60 tea maker, which sounds like a fucking lot of money because it is, but just know I had to be talked off the ledge from a $250 tea maker, and I'm thankful to have good friends in my life that wouldn't let me have that, even though others tempted me to. I have a lot more thoughts on habits and how we form them. I've been stacking my habits together, been really trying to work on that, read The Power of Habit, which doesn't sound like a religious book until you realize that all religions are essentially trying to habitualize contacting the divine. And I thought about this, how we think of habits in the context of religion as a negative thing, as, oh, he's just going to church out of habit, or, you know, you're just praying out of habit, or you're just doing this or whatever. I mean, hell, part of the premise of this podcast was that I felt I had been doing all those things by default because I grew up with it, which is true. However, there's so much strength and life hacking ability in habits that I really encourage you to explore your own. And that, you know, for me, I thought I was just helpless to my habits for a long time, that they just were what they were, they came and went, whether all the various things I've been addicted to in my life between weed, booze, sex, I still enjoy lots of those things to various degrees, but they're no longer habitualized. And I'm trying to really reinstate the things and use the power of habit. I hate that title, but hey, there's a lot of fucking power in the habit. And when we talk about what a religious practice looks like, you're showing up to church every week just out of habit after a certain point. You're praying just out of habit. Now, that doesn't mean you shouldn't analyze your habits and say, maybe I should do this a little bit differently. Maybe I can improve, tweak, optimize it. And maybe I just need a new source of inspiration. Because it doesn't have to be a dead rote thing just because you're in a habit of doing it. You can create a habit of creating a space for you to be as improvisational with your spirit as you want. So anyway, that's my rant. I had more time to rant because it's a shorter episode. If you like these rants and you want more rants, please let me know. Please send me an email, by the way, joe@joequint.net. I got a couple emails this week that really touched me, and I'm so glad that this is making some kind of difference to some of you. And I can't tell you, I was in the gym each time I read them, and I had to like stop my set and just thank whatever the universal consciousness is that we are able to connect in this way, thanks to the internet. And some of my regular gripes on this podcast have been about how the internet divides us and how it polarizes us. Not a really novel concept, but it's one that lots of us observe. However, another one we observe is that the internet does connect us and makes this podcast possible, and you guys make that podcast possible, and I really love connecting with you and actually having a dialogue with you. And so please send me an email about anything, about shit you like, shit you don't like, whatever. I'd love to hear from you. Joe@joequint.net. That's it for this midweek. I love you guys so much. Please give it up for Greg Cashmanian.
Allow the soothing music and uplifting affirmations to center your heart and mind in an awareness of God's love.
Wake up, my dear sinners. Wake up from your deep rest. Won't you say your prayers? Know that you are blessed. I love you, oh, but Jesus loves you the best. And I hope that you choose your own religion.
I feel so professional.
Just kick off recording. That was super professional. Well, Greg.
Yes.
Thank you for coming on.
Hey, thank you for having me.
That's all I wanted to say. Good podcast. All right, we're done.
Later.
So how your album comes out soon, yeah?
Yeah, on Saturday, 21st.
Saturday. I already did the pre-order iTunes thing.
Thank you, sir.
So it's loaded up in the queue. Do you feel good about it?
I am actually surprised at how much I actually really love the album.
Oh, that's awesome.
Because, like, I knew going into it that I was probably going to, like, at least like it because it's my material. But, like,
yeah.
I am so happy with the recording and how it turned out. Because, like, you know, when you do that stuff in your head, you're like, all right, so he's like, when I walk the creaks on the stage, you're going to show up and it's going to bother me.
Yeah.
And this joke didn't hit as hard as I want. And, like, but everything just sounds great. Like,
that's awesome.
The guy who did it, he was able to like cut the things I wanted cut, and like it sounds seamless and just it flows well.
That's awesome, man.
It's got like layers in it, and like even the mistakes, and there's like a couple huge mistakes in it where I call Jason Segel Seth Rogen Jason Segel.
yeah.
But like to me, that just kind of makes it like that's like proof of being like performance. Like that
right.
makes it like
yeah. organic.
No one's ever gonna copy that album, you know, like
yeah,
it's not...
It was a lot of fun. I was at the clubhouse that night. I it was packed in there. It's like so such a great room when it's full.
Yeah, I love that stage. It's so big.
Yeah,
and like you don't realize how big it is until you're like the only one standing up there. But like he was able to kind of like frame it off for me with the speakers.
Uh-huh.
Because like I didn't trust their audio. That's the only thing about the clubhouse is their mic audio yeah. is like spotty sometimes.
Yeah.
So like he was able to like box it out. So it felt like a smaller stage. Like I prefer smaller stages. I don't need a lot of room to walk around. That's not me.
Uh-huh.
But everything, it just the whole night went so great. Like I wasn't worried about the openers, but like Andrew hasn't done stand up a lot.
Uh-huh.
So I was like, oh man, he hasn't done it in a while. I don't know. Like he's leading off the show.
Uh-huh.
But then he crushed it.
Oh yeah, he was great.
And then everyone else crushed it. And like I was almost worried that like I let them do too long because like they were crushing so hard. I was like, guys, save some.
Save some energy for me. Well, I thought it turned out great. I'm really excited to hear the finished up. Product. And you had a joke in there. I can't remember what it was. You alluded to it for sure that you were a Jehovah's Witness, and that's something I'd forgotten because I feel like you mentioned it in passing before.
I grew up a Jehovah's Witness. My mom I think my mom converted between the time I was born and my sister was born, something like 2.5 years.
So as far as your back as your memory goes,
yeah,
you're a Jehovah's Witness.
I don't remember not like being Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah, all the way through. And for you, that was all the way through like elementary school, high school?
It was pretty much all the way through high school, but I was mentally checked out probably by the middle of high school.
Interesting. And why? What made you get checked out?
Religion in general just isn't my bag. I love science.
Uh-huh.
Like I'm huge into like astronomy and like I love dinosaurs. All that stuff and like all of that, like it's hard to believe in that and then also congruently believe in religion.
Right.
It's hard to like be like, oh man, these dinosaurs, they lived so long ago, and then religion's telling you that the earth is 6,000 years old. And you're like, but dinosaurs lived millions of years ago.
Yeah. Yeah.
And you're like, oh, they just discovered a new star. Like, I just remember telling my mom, they discovered a new star. It's 13 billion light years away. Like, we're literally looking into the past. And then how are you supposed to tell me that, like, nope. Nope, no. God placed a 13 billion.
Right.
Why?
Yeah, well, I was looking up some more, some stuff about Jehovah's Witness. I don't have an encyclopedic knowledge of everything.
It's hard to find information on them. They are very tight-lipped.
Yeah.
It's not a secret society per se, but they don't make it easy.
Yeah, well, except they have the newsletter, the Watchtower or something.
Yeah, they have the Watchtower and the Awake magazines.
Fucking ominous as hell names, the Watchtower. Dear God. Christ. What does it take? Is that like is that put out by the official church or?
Yes, it's like a weekly publication for the services.
Uh-huh.
I don't know how close or I need to
these. Oh, you're fine. Cool. Tinker with it for a second.
You're fine. Yeah, it should be all right. Yeah.
So it's like a big deal if you're like an elder or whatever, you get to be published.
Like the meetings would literally be like, all right, bust out your watchtowers. Let's read this article.
Wow.
And then there's questions that there's questions at the end of like every page or paragraph. Mm-hmm. And they'd be like, all right, so who can answer what God's plan is for Moses? And then someone would raise their hand. Like these guys, like microphones would go down.
Uh-huh.
People would answer it, and when there was a kid, everyone was like, oh
yeah.
They would have like different people read different sections.
Were you really, when you were a kid, were you like fully bought in, like super into it, like having fun, or was it like, this is a drag, I don't get to have birthday parties? That's the stereotypical
I didn't ever complain about not having birthday parties. I don't remember complaining about not having birthday parties. Like, I remember being aware of it, but like it didn't bother me.
Uh-huh.
And to be fair, like whenever I say this, it makes my parents sound like douches, and they're not. They're just like, my mom got into a religion and she did her best in that religion and followed the religion.
Yeah.
But like I didn't want for anything as a child. Like yeah, I didn't have Christmas, but if like I was a pretty like really good kid. Like I never got in trouble.
Yeah,
with
yeah.
Anything.
Same here. Yeah.
Yeah. But if I like wanted a new video game and they knew I really wanted it and it wasn't just some like frivolous thing.
Yeah.
They would like, it might take a month, but they would get it. Like
okay.
It's not.
Okay. Yeah.
So like not having Christmas, and plus my dad's not. So like.
Oh, he's not?
My dad isn't.
Wow.
So like there's always this like gray area of stuff.
Wait, how did the church you grew up in take your mom marrying a non-Jehovah's Witness?
Well, she was already married.
Oh, she was already married.
Yeah.
And then she converted during her marriage.
Yes. Like, probably 3 or 4 years into the marriage. Because, like, I was born, and then somewhere in between 84 and 86 or 7
mm-hmm.
is when my mom converted. And they were married in, like, 82.
Gotcha. And they're still together? Or they?
Yeah.
Yeah? Wow. And is she still a Jehovah's Witness?
Yeah. I think she's relaxed a lot from how like from as serious as she used to be, honestly. And this is what I think Jehovah's Witnesses do, and I will stick by this theory. It's my own theory, but like I think it's pretty accurate. But they're just a predatory organization. Mm-hmm. That door-to-door stuff they do, it's not to spread the word of God, it's to find people. And who are they gonna find? Like, look at the hours they go door-to-door. It's always in the middle of the day.
Yeah.
And like this is like, we're talking like 80s, 90s too. So like,
yeah,
you know, gender roles are at their peak. Their peak gender role right now. So they're finding not single moms, but like they're finding like
stay-at-home moms.
Like yeah, house moms. And like they're just, and these people, like they gave up, like my mom gave up their job to take care of the kids. Like, so she doesn't have her job anymore.
Mm-hmm.
She doesn't see her friends a lot, you know, like and then here these assholes come and they're like, do you want a community and friends who will love you unconditionally as long as you unconditionally love Jesus?
Yeah. Like that's a fine deal. I'll take that.
Yeah. They offer religion, like Scientology, Jehovah's Witnesses, all that stuff. It offers a community, like a built-in community and everyone's so nice and they're just so accepting. And like, I would play hockey with them. We'd play hockey games. And then, of course, there'd be Bible study. Like, it's always...
Yeah.
It always came with that caveat. But, like, you don't notice that caveat when you're getting the stuff you're lacking, you know?
Totally. Wait, and so...
And you mentioned gender roles. Is that, and that's something I seem to have made like casually as I was like perusing kind of some very, very basic research on Jehovah's Witnesses. Is gender roles a big thing in there?
It's not, it's never been said to me implicitly that like women shouldn't do this. Uh-huh. Women shouldn't do that. Men should do this.
Mm-hmm.
But it does seem to me that those relationships take very traditional, and that's like doing air quotes on traditional there.
Yeah.
Very traditional gender roles in their relationships. It does not, I think the values that go with just being in a Christian religion in general kind of tend to favor people who would go with traditional gender roles anyway.
Mm-hmm.
You don't see a lot of like Christian ladies wanting to be like aerospace engineers, you know?
Yeah, yeah.
Because that's just, I mean, besides the normal like social, like just media, mass media, and like everything else in the world enforcing gender roles, religion really kind of hammers it home.
Yeah, for sure. Well, and it's a very yeah, I mean, it's a traditional thing. It's a,
yeah,
religion.
Well, it's very like, I mean, Jehovah's Witnesses, they still do the Bible, like it's their own weird version of it, but it's, I mean, the words are pretty much the same. They just replace God with Jehovah a bunch and like take out all the these and thous.
Right. And it's weird to me because I grew up in a Presbyterian you know, Protestant denomination, which has had women ministers for 50 years, and it was weird that it wasn't really emphasized as much, the gender role thing. Although, I mean, you're in the South in Christianity, there's certainly, you know, there's just some basic, it's not an expectation, but it's yeah, I don't know what it is. But
to me, there's a lot about religion that's like implied but never said aloud, because they know if they said it out loud, it would be, they'd be jerks.
Yeah.
But like, there's a lot of like, Sally, you know what you should do. I'm not going to tell you what you should do, but let's see what Mary would do. Or, you know, like,
yeah, yeah.
A lot of stuff like that.
She'd wash the feet.
She'd wash the feet. Gotta wash them feet, Sally.
Yeah. And there's a concept in Jehovah's Witness. Was it called like what, defellowshipping or something, or getting
like defellowship or excommunicated? Yeah.
Yeah. Did you go through that?
No.
No.
No, I just stopped showing up.
It didn't make a big deal out of it.
No, I don't think anyone cared.
Spared the drama.
Right.
Yeah.
And that's like most extreme. Like then if you do that, like no one who's Jehovah's Witness is supposed to talk to you.
Right.
Like it's, you're supposed to be like, you can come to the meetings, but like no one will acknowledge you.
Yeah.
And like it's kind of a weird thing. I don't know the process for it. I don't know who decides like this guy's fellowship. Like,
yeah. Did you ever have somebody from your church get disfellowshipped?
Not that I was aware of.
Yeah.
Yeah. And, not that I can think of.
And no pressure from like your mom didn't like go through like not talking to you or anything like that? Or?
No.
No?
Not never.
So she's a pretty chill Jehovah's Witness.
Yeah. Like I said, I think she's in it more for the community than the actual belief. And I hope she doesn't listen to that. But like, to me, that's what I perceive from it. Is yeah.
Yeah. And do you ever miss that community or?
No, not ever.
Yeah.
Not ever. Like there were some cool people and I had some friends in it, but I just, it always struck me how that friendship came with the caveat of God, you know, like it would never, it didn't feel like a real friendship to me. It felt like a friendship based solely upon my willingness to do this one thing or something. And that's not a good friendship. Like,
yeah.
Even as an 8-year-old, I could tell that's not like a good thing.
Right. The just by, yeah, this association sort of being obligated to.
Yeah.
Yeah. So when you left, it was, you were like, I just stopped showing up. Was there like a youth group or anything you were a part of, or?
As far as I knew, there was no youth group. They did do a thing where they would like kind of like private God tutoring. Mm-hmm. Like someone would come over and do a Bible study with you.
Mm-hmm.
But I only did that for a little bit. Even when I was Jehovah's Witness, I stopped doing that because I was like, this is too much.
Yeah.
But there was nothing really holding me to it.
Mm-hmm.
There wasn't, I couldn't even name the people anymore, to be honest. The only ones I remember are a guy named Jason, who was my Bible study guy.
Yeah.
And then this girl named Mary, whose daughter was Scarlett, who used to babysit us. That's all. That's what I remember.
Mm-hmm. Did you so you left in high school, never had an inclination after that, because you're like you're all in on science, all in.
Yeah,
on,
yeah. I mean, I pretty much made up my mind about religion in high school.
Yeah. What do you think about the word? I have a guess what your leaning is, but I could be wrong.
Okay.
About the word spirituality. I guess you hate it.
No, I don't hate it.
Damn it.
Sorry. I think it tends to get, like, it's just kind of a word people are allowed to say without having any kind of meaning behind it.
Yeah, yeah. It's a nice blanket.
Yeah, it's like I'm spiritual. Like, okay, well, I guess I can't argue that because there's nothing, like, it doesn't mean anything.
Yeah.
Like, if someone says they're spiritual, it, like, I can't tell you what they believe.
Of course, yeah. They probably couldn't tell you what they believe either.
Yeah, and that's, like, the people who say they're spiritual but don't have any, like, concrete anything with it.
Yeah, yeah.
They can go fuck themselves. Like, that's, you're not spiritual. You're just trying to avoid the question.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's tough because when you're like, I mean, trying to put any kind of, I mean, do you believe in anything supernatural in the sense of like not magical per se? Supernatural now, it's not maybe the word I'm looking for. Extra physical, like beyond the physical realm. Any sense of like an energy beyond like, you know, the literal scientific energy.
Mm.
Are you blank slate atheist? What we got is what we got.
I think it is extremely possible for some kind of weird, extra normal thing to exist and still science to be true. I think it's entirely possible that there's some realm of science that we're wrong about or we just haven't figured out yet that allows for things that aren't considered what we consider now possible. I think that's the way it's always been. People had a god for wind, and then they figured out what made wind, and then now they don't have a god for wind anymore.
Right.
And then I think it's the same thing for us. We can't explain this, and someday we'll figure this out, we'll move on, and then something else we haven't discovered yet.
Mm-hmm.
We'll move in. So in a sense, yes, but I think in the general spirit of the question, no.
I gotcha. I'm curious because you know, I think one thing that was tough for me when I grew up son of a preacher, left that.
Son of a preacher man.
And when I left that, you know, when you have a religion, it does give you a purpose. It does give you a meaning. It's like they got all that stuff handled.
And that's why I don't begrudge religion, because for some people, it does help them. It's when people use their religion to take away rights of others or push on others that I have an extreme problem with it.
Totally, yeah. And I guess my question is, in the absence of religion, I mean, do you have any kind of, do you have anything that you feel like drives you in terms of like, whether it's like truth or like, I don't know, comedy or just bringing people happiness
just
or
bringer
love.
Shows.
Bringer shows. Lots of bringer shows. My passion is making five of my friends come see me.
Absurd amount of money to watch these actors.
Right. Oh, dear God. I mean, is there any... What made you want to get into comedy then?
Comedy for me was a performance outlet that I didn't have to rely on other people for.
Because
before comedy, I was in bands. I was in a couple bands, and both my bands broke up. Actually, I was in bands and improv group, and my improv group broke up. Both my bands broke up. And I was like, I love performing. I love being on stage. I don't have the singing ability to do this by myself.
Yeah.
So do I continue to rely on a bunch of other people in order to like do this thing I want to do? Or is there an avenue where I can do it myself? And then I don't know if you know him out here, but Sean Grant, he's from Florida State.
Mm-hmm.
He like we were friends because like he would open up for my improv troupe and stuff, and like Kevin Barnett was there at the same time, and I knew some people, and he was just like, he invited me over one day and we watched Eddie Murphy's Raw, or maybe Deliver. I don't remember which one it was. It's the one where he's wearing the leather suit and he's talking about gay people, and like in the context of like further time, you're like, I you don't even know what you're doing.
I think that was Raw. Yeah.
And he's like, you know, you can do that. And I'm like, yeah, I guess I can. And then my friend Justin Cross was like, just do it. And I wrote with Sean. And and Justin and did my first open mic, or it was like a contest open mic, came in third, and I was just like, a lot of my friends came, like, I thought that was a moment, there was a moment in college where I was like pretty popular.
Uh-huh.
Just because of some like online exploits and like
online exploits.
Yeah, there was a, okay, so this is, I'm pretty old, so that this is LiveJournal days, all right?
Uh-huh.
So it's LiveJournal.
I was around for LiveJournal.
Yeah. And we had a group on FSU, and I hesitate to say troll, but like it was troll. I would troll it, but like it was funny and like.
Yeah, it was fun trolling, yeah, not malicious trolling.
Yeah. Yeah, I wasn't trying to kill anybody or anything. But like, so like people recognized me from that, and it was a huge group, like thousands of people. Like I would go to Subway, and people would be like, are you Craig Cash? Like from LiveJournal? I'm like, yeah, yeah. And then Facebook came out, and do you remember, you're in sports, are you in sports?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
There was a college football game, I think it was like FSU versus Miami, mm-hmm. and there was, the camera like found these like super hot girls in the crowd, and Brent Musburger was like, and 15,000 red-blooded students just committed to Florida State, or said something kind of creepy.
Yeah, yeah.
and their popularity took off.
Uh-huh.
And one of the girls who's like a good friend of mine now, this is what Facebook just came out with, like notes.
Uh-huh.
So I was like using the notes feature on Facebook, and this is when you could just add anybody on Facebook and it wasn't creepy. Like I would just like go and add everybody just to,
yeah,
like,
yeah, acquaintances.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So I wrote a note titled like an internet cold war. And, I made sure to not say anything negative about her, but I just described what the reaction would be to me just, like, even remotely being in the same vicinity as attacking her. And then, like, just how, like, a bunch of dudes were going to, like, comment and threaten me and call me all these stuff.
Uh-huh.
And then it happened. Like, straight happened. And that note blew up.
Really?
Yeah. And that's how I met her. And now we're, like, friends. She lives out here. It's crazy.
That's hilarious.
But, like, all of those things kind of developed I don't even want to say popular, I'll say notoriety.
Uh-huh.
Notoriety for me. So, like, the first couple times I did stand-up shows, I didn't know not to invite my friends to the first couple times. No one told me. I used up all my friends on those first.
That's the classic, man. I think we all did that. We all just burned out, and then they're like, I'm like, no, you should come see me now. Like, and I don't suck anymore.
Right.
Even though you liked the sucky me for some reason.
They all came that first time, and like I was like I saw the video and you can see my hand just like shaking, and
yeah,
like I'm like way back in the stage, I'm not like up front at all, I'm like almost against the wall.
Uh-huh.
Just nervous, I'm in shorts.
Did you, when you first got into performance, and you said I'm obviously into performing as well,
right?
When were you still a Jehovah's Witness when you first like set on stage or anything?
No, it was college.
Yeah,
college. All right, so the real first time I ever did stand up, like I don't count it as my first time because I didn't know what I was doing, nor did I have any desire to do it. I just thought I was being a funny asshole.
It was the Watchtower Book Show.
The Watchtower Book. $5 donation.
Uh-huh.
Get in there. No, like they just sent out a blanket email. It's like, are you a stand up? You want to do this show? I'm like, yeah, of course. I didn't write any material. I wrote it in the car driving back from Orlando like the day before.
Oh, my God. How arrogant.
I know. I had no idea, dude. I had no clue. I literally, that set was so bad. I literally ended it with like, this is what I said to end it. It's probably the best ending I've ever had for a show ever. I was like, listen, we all know what happened here. If you guys could clap while I get off the stage so I could save whatever's left of my self-esteem, that'd be great. Thunderous applause. My friends didn't even walk back to the dorm with me. They were like, you walk 10 feet behind us.
Oh, my God. And that made you just want to keep going.
No, I didn't do it again for like 4 years or 5 years after that.
Yeah.
That wasn't even something I wanted to do. It was just like, yeah, I'll fucking sign up and do it. That was me like desperately reaching out to be cool or whatever. Like,
yeah. You didn't identify as a comic,
right,
or anything.
Right, because it was like the first few months of like being in college, and I wasn't like, I didn't have like a lot of friends in high school and stuff, and I'd been to two high schools, and like,
mm-hmm.
high school wasn't great for me, so I was like desperately trying to be like, no, yeah, you have a funny friend, be my friend, I'm funny.
Yeah, and what changed for you the second time around when you did the
Just preparation and taking it seriously.
Like, yeah. Well, I'm saying, but what made you want to prepare and take it seriously? Just
because I wanted to perform.
The self-driven thing.
I needed that avenue to perform that I didn't have to rely on anyone else to do.
Mm-hmm.
And by then, I had kind of settled a little bit. Like, I feel like you're always kind of settling into yourself, because I feel like better about myself now than I did then, and then better about myself then than I did like before.
Yeah, yeah.
But like, I'd calmed down a little bit, and I was just like, all right, this is what I want to do. Like, I worked with another comic, and like, we made a good set, and like, I practiced it in the mirror a couple times, and like,
nice.
Went out there, and then you get up there, and sometimes you just kind of know when something's like what you want, mm-hmm. you know, like it just feels good, and you're like, I could see myself doing this.
Yeah. And what's, I mean, do you have anything where, like, I mean, how do you view in terms, like, do you see as comedy as having any kind of greater purpose or meaning outside of, like, just making people laugh? Or what is...
I have been quoted as saying comedy is the last bastion of free speech, but I don't know how much I mean it. I think comedy does have a purpose, but I don't think all comedy has to fit that. Like, I think there's a difference between George Carlin and Bill Hicks and then, like, Brian Regan and Daniel Tosh, but I don't think they're like inequal in comedy.
Mm-hmm.
So I think like like Jon Stewart and like John Oliver, Samantha Bee, like they're comedians. They're doing a comedy show, but it also serves a greater purpose, and I think that's a noble purpose, and I think that's a purpose comedy can serve. I think satire is important. I think SNL can be an important show. I don't think David S. Pumpkins is any less worthy of being called comedy than when they're doing something with Trump.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, I think it depends what you're putting behind it. If you're trying to say something more, and you can successfully say something more and make it funny, I think that's great. But I don't think comedy intrinsically has to have it, but I think it can.
Yeah. Do you have, and something, because I read something that I... there's been times in my life more where this was, but I still feel like it's tough at times as a guy to talk about, like, you know, shit we're going through, and you're very vulnerable in your Facebook posts, and I'm in a good way. Like, you're very honest about your whole thought process and kind of what you're going through and your emotions and things like that. Is that something that you feel like really drives a lot of your comedy, is sort of like, hey, like, please recognize my struggle?
I don't think it's, hey, recognize my struggle. I think it's, hey, this is what, like, I'm going through, and if you don't find it funny, then it has no meaning. No, it's more like, I find that being honest with how I'm feeling, especially like on stage, allows me to have my unique voice. Like, without it, then, like, you cut down a lot of my material, and then it's just kind of like there's nothing behind it, you know?
Yeah.
There's nothing that drives a set forward if you don't get like a better sense of the purpose. And like, having those like vulnerable moments on stage that like, a, like, someone's gonna relate to you no matter what. Like, at least one person is going through something like you are going through. And B, it makes you a real person. You're not just like a fucking automaton up there sprouting out your latest dick jokes, you know?
Yeah.
It's what makes me unique. It's what makes my comedy unique to me. It's why you can't do my comedy, like, and why I wouldn't want to do your comedy, you know? Because, like, you gotta, like, I love Mitch Hedberg. I love him. But anyone can do that.
Right, right.
Anyone can do those jokes. Like, and I'm not saying, like, anyone's, like, clever enough to think of them, but I'm saying, like, anyone can perform them with the same... And if you have performance chops, you get the same reaction on them. Because there's nothing deeper in them, you know?
Mm-hmm.
They're super clever and super funny. And I love Mitch Hedberg. I don't want to sound like I'm shitting on Mitch Hedberg. But I don't get a better sense of who Mitch Hedberg is after. I'm like, no, this is a really funny dude.
Yeah.
But I don't think you could say that watching my set. And, like, for my favorite comics and my favorite, like, local comics, I don't think you could say that watching their sets either.
Mm-hmm.
I think the best sets are the ones where you, like, kind of get, they pull back the curtain a little bit. I think that's what makes, like a comedic set special.
Yeah.
It's like you like you feel like you know someone, like almost to a detriment, where you're like, and then after the show, people are coming up and talking to you like they know you, and you're like, it's just an illusion. It's like what you.
Yeah, and I love that, because that's something that religion often doesn't have, doesn't do a great job of, is that ability to be brutally honest and vulnerable. And that's the little mini episode cut off right there at a tantalizing moment. Once again, Greg Cashmanian, Let's Just Be Friends, available on iTunes. If you like this show, ChooseYourOwnReligion.com. Follow me on Facebook, Stitcher, also on iTunes, everywhere. Google me and you'll find me. I love you so much. Namaste.
What's a Creative Podcast Network?